Like it's time to begin, so let's go ahead and start. And we'll start with a word of prayer. Ask the Lord to guide our thinking this morning. Dear Father, thank you, Lord, that we can study your word. Thank you that we can come in peace, Lord, to study. And I just pray now that you'll open our hearts for the message that's here, the lessons you're trying to teach us. Help us, Lord, to have our open minds, that we won't be distracted by other things. And just help us, Lord, just to focus on your word. Help us, Lord, as we study, that we'll draw near unto you, that we'll realize, Lord, your word is truth. It's there, and you've revealed it to us. And, Father, we're just so grateful for that and so thankful. So we just pray now that the Holy Spirit will be our teacher this morning, and help us, Lord, just to learn and apply the truths that we know. In Jesus' name we pray. Okay, last week we finished verse 26. And by the way, just these, all these verses right here, they are so packed full of information. We've been spending an entire class on one verse for the last few times. Last Sunday we just finished verse 26, so we're going to focus on 27 this morning. But to kind of get up to speed for verse 27, I want to back up and read verse 26. And so we'd like to read 26 and 27 together. So, and then we'll focus on 27 this morning. So who would read verses 26 and 27 for us? Bill? Okay. Okay, thank you, Bill. Okay, in verse 26, we're talking about Messiah being cut off. And just to clue you in, verse 27, we begin talking about the Antichrist. In fact, and so there's a millennium of time, over two millenniums of time between verses 26 and 27. Because in 27, it's definitely talking about the Antichrist. And we're going to see that. So we have Messiah being cut off. You know, we're talking about the crucifixion in verse 26. And then in verse 27, we jump forward to the Antichrist. And we got a lot of study in the future on the Antichrist and what's going to be taking place during that time. And it's going to be rich and everything. And one thing I failed to mention in the past, we talked last Sunday about how the Old Testament folks did not see, you know, this gap of time. Okay. They didn't see, I guess I'm doing something, there we go. Okay. They did not see this gap of time in between here. When Christ came on his first coming here, they thought it was this one down here. Because they're thinking, okay, we're ready to enter the millennium. Are you going to restore Israel? Or the land and Israel back under its own rule at this time. We talked about that. They did not see this all along here. And so, and we actually are getting ready. In verse 27, we're going to jump from Messiah being cut off. We're going to jump clear over to here at the, right here. We're going to jump from there to there. And as a gap of time, and again, they did not see it. And again, in these verses here, Daniel skips over. It's nothing there is mentioned. I have a feeling he didn't see it. But anyway, he didn't write about it if he did. So I don't know what God revealed to him, but they didn't see it. And you know, this is just a side thought. I hate to even kind of mention this, but I'm going to anyway. Last Friday, I was driving down, heading into town to buy tickets to go to the Abbeville Rodeo. And anyway, and on the way down there, just a thought popped in my mind. And you know, the Bible talks about the lake of fire. And I got thinking, maybe God has given us kind of a glimpse of the lake of fire. And I thought, take a look at Hawaii right now. The lake of fire. And that might be kind of what that looks like. And folks, we stop and think about eternity. And I just, I don't like the thought of that. It makes me shudder. But folks, that is the future of people that are unsaved. And I ask God, God, give me more boldness. I need boldness to speak up. We all do. And all right, enough of that. But it was just, I'm thinking about that. Wow, you know. Okay. Now, in verse 26, back to Daniel here. In verse 26, it says, Messiah is going to be cut off. And then we're going to pick it up here in verse 27 this morning. And he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week. Okay. Now, I've already said, the he here, who is the he? That's the question. The he is the Antichrist, okay? The Antichrist, and so at this particular point, right here, behind the rapture of the church, but at this particular point, it says, and he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week, all right? At this particular point, and that's kind of where we are here now, but at this particular point, when this covenant is signed with Israel, we're going to talk about that this morning, then you can count the days as to how much longer this world's going to be around. Because it is going to last, folks, for exactly 7 years right here at that particular point. Now, and again, there's a lot of things that's not covered in the book of Daniel. Okay? One of them, okay, is the rapture of the church. Nothing said about that in the book of Daniel. It skipped over. I don't think Daniel saw it. You know. Another thing is the marriage supper of the Lamb. It's not talked about in Daniel. Another thing is the judgment of believers. Not mentioned. You know, and I thought, well, you know, as we're going through this thing, we're actually just studying the book of Daniel, and I'm thinking I probably ought to just skip over all this stuff that he didn't talk about. And yet I can't leave it alone, folks. I'm trying to learn this book, and I want to put the whole thing together. And so as we're going through the book of Daniel, we're going to be going to, you know, we're going to be talking about the rapture of the church. What happens? You know, the judgment, the, you know, these different things. Because to me, the study of this book has finally, there's been so many floating pieces of the puzzle. And this book is, this study is putting all these pieces together for me. It's helped me tremendously. I have had so many unanswered questions answered as I'm going through this book. How does all this work out? When does it take place? You know, and it's been exciting for me. And hopefully maybe some of the others of you might be like me. So, okay. So verse 27. And he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week, and in the midst of the week, in the middle of the week, in the middle of that 7 years, he's going to cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease, and for the overspreading of abominations, well, I'll just stop because we're going to just cover this first part of this verse here. Okay, who's a he here? It's referring back into verse 26. This is why we had read verse 26. He's talking about the prince that shall come and destroy the city and the sanctuary. That's kind of toward the last half of verse 26. So he refers to the Antichrist who will be alive and well at the beginning of the last prophetic week, the last 7 years of the tribulation period. That begins the tribulation period. The Antichrist is known by several names. He's known as the prince that shall come, Daniel 9:26, which is where we just read. The The king, Daniel 11:36, that man of sin, the son of perdition, 2 Thessalonians 2:3, that wicked, 2 Thessalonians 2:8, the beast, Revelation 3:4, the antichrist, 1 John 2:22. When will he arrive? He's going to arrive after the rapture of the church. After the rapture of the church. And let's take a look at these. We've been through these verses again, but for me, let's just repeat it. Yes, sir. Okay, very good. Thank you. I missed that one. All right. Okay, let's turn to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. I got to go through things several times to get it beat into my head. I think you guys pick up on this stuff a lot quicker than I do. Okay, 2 Thessalonians. Okay, 2 Thessalonians 2, verses 7 and 8. Kind of watch for pages to stop flipping. Okay, 2 Thessalonians 2, 7 and 8. And who will read those for us, please? Kathy? Okay, it's talking about, and when he, you know, it said, you said restraineth, was that the word that your Bible
yeah.
said? Okay. In other words, he who restraineth, hindereth, the King James uses the word letteth. In other words, he who is holding back, you know, which is referring to the Holy Spirit, all right? And when he is going to restrain until he is taken out of the way, that's the rapture of the church. Folks, the rapture of the church is when the Christians are going to be caught up together with the air and be forever with the Lord. And so at the time of the rapture, all saved people are gone off the earth. And all is left then is unsaved people for the time being, for the moment. Okay? And so until he be taken out of the way. And in 1 Corinthians 6:19 it says, know ye not that your bodies are the temple of the Holy Spirit? The Holy Spirit resides within us. When we are gone, the Holy Spirit is gone. And then lawlessness remains on planet Earth. And when the rapture takes place, the Holy Spirit's influence in the world will be taken out of the way, is what it says. All that's left in the world now are unsaved people. And then, it says, then, after they're taken out, then that wicked person will be revealed. That's the Antichrist. In other words, right here's the rapture. And it says, and then he will be revealed. Notice here in this chart that there's a little gap of time there. And I did not understand that. In fact, I think I said that it happens immediately after the rapture. If I said that, that is wrong, and I think I did. Okay? And as I go through this book, all of a sudden I realize, hey, there's some stuff I've said that's wrong. And again, folks, basically this is my first go through this book. I've said that before because I'm just, anyway, and so I'm learning. I'm having to change a lot of thoughts that I had that I might have said in the past. But anyway, and he shall, and then in verse 20, okay, back to Daniel. I have a marker I keep in Daniel, and so I can get back to it quick. And anyway, and here's my markers up here out of the book. So Okay, Daniel 9:27. Okay, and he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week. And it talks, when he confirms that covenant with Israel, we're going to talk about that. And in the middle of the week, he's going to cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease. And so we'll just go from there. And he will confirm the covenant, a covenant with the Jews for 1 week, for 7 years. Now he makes the covenant. I mean, the covenant doesn't say anything about 7 years. That's just God saying it's going to last for 7 years. To the end of the world, or to the end of the age, or anyway, before. Anyway, all right. The final week of 7 years will begin in the future when the Antichrist shall confirm the covenant with the Jews for 1 week. That is when the 7 year time, God's time clock starts ticking again, when that covenant is signed. Most, but not all, Jews are accepting of this covenant. It says he's going to confirm the covenant with many, but it doesn't say with all. There's some Jews are holding back. They're not, they see through this thing. Not everybody, but the majority of Jews are going to go along with him. God's prophetic clock begins ticking again when his peace pact is signed, not the rapture, as many believe. As I have stated in this class, not the rapture. There could be several days, even years, between the rapture and the signing of the covenant. So there's another gap of time within this gap of time. In other words, there's probably going to have to be some things take place here. The Antichrist has got to get established. There's probably going to be some, you know, it's not just the next hour, he's not going to be able to do this. It's probably going to take some time. Yes, sir.
One thing that you can look at is the rapture at Revelation 4:1, when John's taken up, and then exactly two chapters later at 6, verses 1 and 2, when the Antichrist comes to power.
Okay.
And when you look at that, you have just that one chapter in between chapter 5 here, talking about what's going on with Jesus Christ and the scroll and what's starting to happen in heaven. So when you look at Daniel with the 7 year peace treaty, and you look at what Revelation says, you start putting that puzzle actually put together right there.
Yeah. It's going to take the Antichrist a little bit of time to establish, you know, his authority. So there's going to be a time, and you're right, Bill, exactly right. So be a little bit gap. So there is a little gap of time within this gap of time that we're living in today. So, all we know from God's word is that the final portion or the final week of Daniel's 70 weeks will begin with the Antichrist signing of the covenant. That's what starts the clock ticking again for 7 years. So we got to wait for the Antichrist. Well, we don't have to wait. We're going to be in heaven. All right. But anyway, they have got to wait until they make this signing. This covenant signature marks the beginning of a 7 year countdown to the second coming of Christ, which ends the tribulation period. That covenant obviously cannot be signed until the Antichrist comes on the scene and until he's established his power, his dominion. The Antichrist will not surface until the bride of Christ has been caught away. That's what we just talked about here, the rapture. So we won't know who he is. They won't know who he is until then. I keep saying we. I don't plan to be here, folks. Anyway, remember, God's clock had stopped at the time of the triumphal entry. That's when the time clock stopped. It stopped at this present day as we speak. This peace pact will be a political and a religious covenant to protect the Jews if attacked by another power. The Antichrist comes to the Jews and says, I'm going to protect you. I'm going to take care of you guys. And I mean, the Jews are flocking to him. They think he's got the answers. This guy is the Messiah, they're thinking. Scripture reveals that the Jews will be allowed to rebuild their temple during the first half of the seven-year tribulation period. They're going to be allowed to rebuild the temple. They're going to be allowed to restore the temple worship and restore the animal sacrifices. The Antichrist is going to let them do it. And they're in hog heaven, folks. They think, this is great. You know, this guy, he's treating us wonderful. He's the Messiah. They might possibly think they're living in the kingdom years, the thousand-year millennial reign. And they're happy. In fact, let's just, for the moment, let's just turn over to Daniel 12, 11. Jump ahead a couple pages. 12, 11. And in just the very first part, I'll just read it here. It says, "And from that time the daily sacrifice shall be taken away, and the abomination maketh desolate, set up. There shall be 1,290 days." All right, scratch those numbers off for right now. We'll get to that later. But anyway, but Daniel's here in 12:11 saying, okay, at that particular time, the sacrifice is going to be taken away. It's going to be stopped. That's the midpoint of the tribulation, what we're just talking about. We're getting ready to talk about in this verse. So it's had to be established before it can be taken away. And so at this point, the Jews believe that this great and powerful leader is none other than their long-awaited Messiah. They will be deceived into thinking they're living in the kingdom age. In reality, it's going to be a lull before the storm. Bad times are on their way. Ezekiel says that Israel will feel so secure and feeling so good about the protection offered by the Antichrist treaty that she is living in unwalled villages. And to back that up, let's turn to Ezekiel chapter 38. Ezekiel, back up in your Bible about a 16th of an inch, and that'll put you right at Ezekiel 38. 16th to an eighth of an inch. Kind of watch the C pages stop flipping here. Okay. And so Ezekiel 38. We're gonna skip through this chapter, you know, just pick up what we're needing to talk about here. So let's start off by reading verses 1 and 2. And to kind of find out, Ezekiel 38, 1 and 2. Who'd read those for us? Tracy?
"For the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, set thy face against Gog into the land of Magog, the chief prince of Meshach and Tubal, and prophesy against him."
Okay, so we're talking about these countries. That's coming in the future, but it refers to the area like Russia and Turkey, and I guess, who all's it talking? Okay. Thank you. I am not a geography student. I'm also not a history student as far as ancient history. That's not my thing, but we're going to be doing a lot of that here in the future. Excuse me. Okay. So in other words, he's talking about these people here. Go ahead, and now with Tracy, would you read 11 and 12? Okay, now read verse 18, please.
"And it shall come to pass at the same time when Gog shall come against the land of Israel, says the Lord God, that my fury shall come up in my face."
Okay, so here, God is addressing these nations that Bill just named off, okay? And then they're going to come, they're going to take a spoil, they're going to invade them, You know, and they're invading them. They are living in unwalled villages. The Jews are not worried about the walls. They're safe. They're secure. They're getting their temple restored. All this type of thing's taking place. And then, in fact, it doesn't really mention the land of Israel until verse 18, you know, who they're going to invade. And so when you put these verses together, it shows us exactly what's getting ready to happen. Yes. Okay. It is right now?
Well, it's starting to. In fact, the Jerusalem Post actually just put out last week, are we getting ready for Ezekiel 38 and 39?
Really? Okay.
Because of Syria and Iran and Turkey and Russia has pretty much declared war against Israel.
Yeah. Very good. Yeah, and I guess I see that, but a lot of times it just doesn't, things just don't click. I don't put it all together. Okay, it says, now back to Daniel. So turn that same eighth of an inch back the other direction. Okay, verse 27. It says, in the middle of the verse here, it says, and in the midst of the week, the midst of the 7 years, 3.5 years, he shall cause the sanctuary and the oblation to cease. All right? In the midpoint of the tribulation, he will double cross the Jews. He signed this pact, you know, and they're happy, but he double crosses them. And before a sacrifice and an oblation can cease, you know, he says he's caused it to cease, what do you have to have? You have to have a sacrifice and an oblation. Before you can have a sacrifice and an oblation, they need to have a temple. You don't have to have. I guess they sacrificed out in the woods before. But anyway, the temple's been rebuilt. The Antichrist is going to allow them to restore the temple. One author says that that may be the thing that makes them sign the treaty with them. Now, that's just this guy's thought. Okay, and they're thinking, what would cause the Jews to want to sign a pact? Of course, they're thinking he's the Messiah. But anyway, it might be a lever that he used to get them to sign this treaty. And then when so he signs this peace treaty pact with them, protect them. That's when that time clock starts ticking, when that treaty is signed, not the rapture. In the end times, the Antichrist will seem to solve the Middle East problems. They're going to say, this guy is great. He is wonderful. Turn to Revelation chapter 13. Revelation 13, verses 4 and 5. And who'd read those for us? Okay.
Men worship the dragon because he had given authority to the beast. And they also worship the beast and asked, who is like the beast? Who can make war against him? The beast was given a mouth to utter proud words and blasphemy.
Okay. In other words, who is like the beast? I mean, these guys think this guy is great. You know, who can stand against him? You know, he's wonderful. And again, it mentions here it's going to last for 42. He's given time here at this particular point for 42 months. This is in the middle of the tribulation. In the middle of it, when he breaks the peace treaty, God in his word says he's got 42 months to go. Folks, how long is 42 months? Three and a half years. 1,260 days. So, anyway, we're coming to that. That's future. We're coming to that. They worship the dragon who gave power to the beast. The beast is another name for the Antichrist. And they're just, they're all behind him. They're rejoicing. They're happy. And they worship the beast, saying, who is like the beast? And there was given unto him a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies. power given unto him to continue for 42 months, 3.5 years, and that's it. Second return of Christ in 3.5 years. You can count the days at that point. We can't count now because we don't know when it's all going to begin. And we talked about this gap of time. This gap of time for the cross, so far, we've had a 2,500-year gap of time that's not recorded in the book of Daniel. And who knows how much longer it's going to go. It's an ongoing process at this particular point. And then back to Daniel. And it says, and for the overspreading of abominations, he shall make it desolate. In the book of Daniel, the term abomination of desolation conveys God's outrage of a barbaric act of idolatry inside his holy temple. The temple's been built, been restored in Jerusalem. In the temple of God, the thing that abominates is an idol, a false god. He's going to bring a false god into the temple. Do you know who that false god's going to be?
Himself,
exactly. Okay? He is going to sit down and declare himself to be God. He will set up an image of himself in the temple of God and declare himself to be God. He will even abolish the false church existing at that time. Okay? There's a wicked, a false church. He's going to do away with that too. And from then on, no one on earth will be permitted to worship anyone but himself. Any who refuse will be persecuted and many will be martyred. You worship me or you die. Take the mark of the beast. In this way, the Antichrist will take on the character of Satan who energizes him. This blasphemous act will utterly desecrate the temple, making it abominable and therefore desolate in God's sight. Such an abomination took place before in Israel's history when Antiochus Epiphanes desecrated a Jewish temple by erecting an altar to Zeus in it and then sacrificing a pig, an unclean animal, on it. The Antiochus Epiphanes did so many things exactly like the Antichrist would do. These two seem to kind of parallel, although Antiochus was not near as bad as the Antichrist is going to be. This last 3.5 years, the Great Tribulation, it's called, will be the worst years in human history. The worst years in human history. The worst is yet to come, folks. It may look bad now, but anyway. Turn to Zephaniah chapter 1. We're going to take a look at this. Folks, this is 45 pages to the right. All right? Zephaniah. I'm glad I got time to mark my Bible ahead of time, because you guys would all have it found, I'd still be fumbling. I have tried to memorize the books of the Bible. I can memorize a lot of stuff, but I cannot memorize the books of the Bible. I don't know why. Dante says, well, she just rattles them off, you know. Anyway, Zephaniah chapter 1. Is most everybody there? Okay, looks like it. Okay, let's go ahead and read verses 10 through 18. It's not real pretty. 10 through 18. And who'd read these for us? Okay, Josh?
Jerusalem with candles and punish the men that are settled on their feet.
Okay. There's a picture of what's coming. Not pretty. Even until the consummation. Okay, back to Daniel here. Thank you, Josh. Okay. It says, and even in, okay, toward the two-thirds of the way through the verse, even until the consummation, and that determined shall be poured upon the desolate. Everything is going according to God's perfect timetable, and his plan is already in place as to how it's going to end. Folks, are we getting a picture? We should get excited just to think that we know a part of the history and the future of the world. Most people do not understand these things we're talking about. Even the part that hasn't happened. One author's quote, I'm going to quote one of the authors here. He says, I wandered through the White House this summer, and I thought to myself, these folks work so hard trying to figure it out. I went over to Congress. We walked through all the Congress area over there in the Capitol building, and we saw where everybody's desk was at one time, and the statues of all the great men. And I thought to myself, if they only knew the Word of God. You see, Jesus has hidden it from the wise and the prudent and revealed it unto whom? Babes. Babes. I hope you're grateful. What an incredible thing that God has done for us. Unquote. Let's turn to 2 Peter 3, chapter 3. We've read this before. Okay, 2 Peter chapter 3, and let's just read verses 10 through 18. And who'd read those for us, please? I see that hand. Okay. Okay, thank you. Okay, folks, we see these things. We know these things. We need to live for the Lord. Folks, we're on the winning team if we're Christians. And I can't get that side of the Hawaii out of my mind. And folks, if there happens to be anybody in this room that is not saved, consider that. It's just the Lord's, the work of Calvary is done. The price for our sin has been paid. It's finished. It's done. And the Bible tells us that when we become believers, that we are clothed with the righteousness of Christ. And when God the Father looks down at us, all he sees is the righteousness of Christ. He doesn't see our sinful, wicked ways. And salvation is there. And we've actually got about a minute and a half. Does anybody have any questions or comments about what we've studied? Okay. I'll just for kicks, I'm going to go ahead and turn on this map that I passed out this morning. If you notice here now, this one here, whoops, wrong button. There we go. Laser, it says. This one here, I got to do something different. Wrong. There we are. This particular one here, it starts with a cross. The one we've been looking at, it's back over here. But this here starts and it goes forward. And folks, like right here is the rapture of the church. And like I say, this thing contains a tremendous amount of information on it. But anyway, it talks about the judgment seat of Christ, the marriage supper of the Lamb. There's the lake of fire. But it goes all the way clear through to the end. And so we're going to be looking at this quite a bit here in the future. There's the Battle of Armageddon right there. And there's Hades, you know. Anyway, but take a look at that. Just kind of study it over. And I think maybe, and now here's what we've been talking about here, is the tribulation period, the 3.5 years divided up by 1260 days. Comes out to be 2520 days, exactly like the Bible says. And again, from the sign of that covenant, from the sign of that covenant, at that particular point, you know, somebody says no one knows when Christ's going to come, you know. Well, at that particular point, you can. They can. You can count then. Because God's time clock starts ticking when he signs that covenant. It's going to be 7 years broken into 2 3.5 year periods of time, 2 42-month periods of time, 2 1260-day periods. You know, it's written right out. And at that particular point, we can know. But again, the Old Testament people, they missed all of this stuff that we're talking about now. So, okay, our time is up. Why don't we close the word of prayer, and we'll prepare for the service to follow. Dear Father, we're thankful, Lord, for your word. We're thankful for what you have shown us. Lord, it's laid out. You've got it there for us. Help us, Lord, to understand it. I pray, Lord, as I go through this, help me to speak the truth, Lord. Help me not to say things that are wrong. And I pray that you'll just guide me and guide us in our study. And help us, Lord, to be speaking the truth. Help us to be learning from it and growing from it. We just pray now that you'll be with pastors. He brings a morning message. I pray, Lord, that you'll open our hearts. I pray that you will help us, Lord, to stay focused on your word and focused on you and our worship of you. And Father, you are definitely worthy of our worship as we see the salvation you have prepared for us. Lord, it's there. And we can avoid and we can miss that lake of fire. And Father, we're thankful for that. Help us, Lord, just to be bolder as we talk to others about Christ. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You're dismissed.